like to call the meeting to order.
Can't hear. Wait a minute.
Earl's got to get us on.
Hello.
No, it's that thing went out.
Hello?
There we go.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Like to call to order the Port Malabar Holiday Park Mobile Home Park Recreation District meeting on March 8th at 1:30 p.m. Let's begin with prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, you are our creator and sustainer. Thank you for your unspeakable gifts. You bless us every day, even though we don't deserve it. Your love for us is beyond comprehension. We stray and you still love us. We may forget you, but you don't forget us. You love us just the same. Bless our efforts to keep our holiday park beautiful and bless each individual's effort to make it so. Thank you for those residents who are reaching out to neighbors, helping them with this effort. Continue to watch over us and keep us in your loving care. This we ask in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge of Allegiance. Ask the secretary to call roll.
Jack Emmerich.
Here.
Carol Summers.
Present.
Cheryl Moore.
Here.
Keith Richer.
Here.
Paul Goblick.
Here.
Okay.
James Elner.
Oops, absent. We don't have it.
Beverly Elias.
Here.
And Terry Steimer.
Here.
Thank you. And Cherie Morris will be joining us. Thank you, Cherie.
In terms of the agenda, under chairman announcements, we were to swear in Karen Allen. I didn't see her unless she came in. Okay, so we'll delay that. I don't know if I'm foolish asking this, but with this ACC status, they didn't have a meeting, so I've forgotten his name now already. Would not be cleared to get approval for board approval for ACC, Thomas Clark. That's still hanging in limbo. He's here. Oh, Steve is here. Do you have any answer for us? Okay, thank you. Looks like we're ready to approve some minutes. Looking for a motion to, I'm sorry, yes, secretary has a card to read.
Positive vibes only. This is addressed to Jack Emmerich and Board of Trustees. A great big thanks to all of you. You are so very nice. Thank you for visiting me during my farewell on 2/19. It has been a pleasure being a part of the Holiday Park family. Wishing you all well and a happy 2021 season. That's from Kathleen. Sent a nice note. I also have a letter of resignation to Holiday Park trustees. Please consider this as my resignation effective 1 April 2021. My 3 years is up 1st of November, but we will be heading north mid-April and will not be back until November 2021. This is from Steve Ambrosia, and we're just going to make a note that that's a resignation from the ACC board, correct? Thank you, Steve.
Okay, now I'm looking for a motion to adjourn. Adjourn, yes.
I second that.
All in favor, please rise. Okay. The long-awaited December 28th minutes. I think we finally are all on the same page with those, so looking for a motion to adopt these minutes.
I make a motion that we adopt the minutes as rewritten. Approve, excuse me. Approve the minutes as written. 12/28/2020.
I second.
It's moved and second. Any discussion? We've had ample time to make corrections. All in favor, raise your right hand.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign?
7-0.
Next is 2/22/21. Looking for a motion to approve. Okay, Bev made a motion. Is there
I'll
a second?
Okay.
You couldn't hear Bev? Get closer, Bev.
I make a motion that we approve the minutes of 2/22/21.
And I second.
Any comments? If not, raise your right hand if you approve of them.
7-0.
Jack, we have to add February 8th wasn't put on the agenda.
Oh, we didn't do those?
We skipped it, I think.
Yeah, we skipped those.
Oh, because it was,
they
got them like
it.
The day of the
We tabled
the
it, yes.
Okay. Well, I didn't look that over again, but I did when they came, and I didn't have any objections. Looking for a motion?
I would like to make a motion to approve them with one correction. It's just in the heading part. The blank trustee position is secretary instead of assistant secretary. Just needs to be added to that. I did make that motion.
I second the motion.
Any comments on that? February 8th. All in favor, right hand raised.
7-0.
And
I feel like I'm in Congress or something. Isn't that how they do it? They're like, no.
No, they couldn't meet if it was 7-0. 3-2-21, looking for a motion to approve.
I'm going to make a motion that we wait, only because that was very long discussion at that meeting. And I just want to make sure that all of our trustees and all of the residents have time to go through those minutes. It's only been a week. I do believe they're up on the website. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, Sheree, thank you. Pardon?
I don't think they're
low. Okay. Well, I just feel only because it's so lengthy and there was so much to talk about, I would feel more comfortable if we do that at the next meeting. They can stay up unapproved until then, can't they? So I make a motion they be tabled.
I second.
Any discussion? All in favor say, oh, we don't have to approve the table. Ready to hear from our treasurer, Keith?
Yeah. I didn't check to see whether you got a copy of these, but they are posted up on the board and they are posted on the website, okay? But basically, the budget stayed the same, $1,335,808. The January income was $61,633. The total expenses for January were $94,149. So we, over this month, we spent $32,516 more than we brought in this month. However, for year to date, the total income is $694,693. The anticipated income still left to come in is $641,115. So we're just about halfway into our income. So we're, like it says, we're at 52% of our income for this year, and we're only in the fifth month. So we're still ahead of it a bit. Our total expenses at this time are $373,493. We still anticipate to spend we've budgeted over $962,315 yet to can be spent. So we're only at 28% of our expense budget.
What are you reading, Keith? Those numbers are not matching what I've got.
We don't have February.
Did I grab it? Oh, I'm reading January.
I got February.
Okay, taken back. We are at same budget. The February income was $71,451. Expenses were $89,565. The net ordinary income was a loss of $18,000 for the month, or we spent $18,000 more than we brought in. But year to date, we have brought in $766,143. Anticipated, we still need $569,665 to come in. So we're still at 57% of our budget for income. Our expenses were $463,058, and the anticipated budget is $872,750. Which is 34% of our spending, and we're in the fifth month now, and we're at like 40. That's at 40%, and we're only on spent 34% of that. Okay. Any questions? I'm sorry, I pulled out the wrong one.
Joanne.
Joanne Gagan, 241 Berry Court. I think I had asked at a previous meeting, could you tell us the amount in the two funds that are left where you budgeted monies from the monies that we were paying off our loans? One of those funds went to pay for the bocce courts. What are those other two funds, and how much is in each of those?
We didn't budget when we paid off the loan. I'm sorry, I misunderstood. I thought you were asking for where we were going to be budgeting money. And we're making representative, but what the money we put that we had budgeted for the loans, we'd paid them off early the year before. So
right.
The money that was in that
right.
was just left in as the extra money. We didn't budget that towards anything, except if you look at the bottom, there's six things right at the bottom is where we of the final one, which
is
building improvements, entrance structure, ground equipment, and furniture and equipment for the office. Those are funds we have at the bottom of our budget. That's where the those funds have gone.
Are the numbers at the bottom, Keith, are money that's in the bank? Is that what you're asking?
No.
No. What are you asking?
We were paying a certain amount of money each month to pay off our loans. When we finished that, that money was then allocated into, that's why I'm asking, what were those funds that was allocated to? One of them was when we went to approve the bocce courts, it was one of three funds that was posted and it was approved. But I think it eliminated almost all the money in that one particular reserve. I don't know. So there were two more.
The three funds that we had, four, was building improvements. We had budgeted $50,000 for capital outlay infrastructure. We represented $35,000 outlay for ground equipment. That's where the bocce courts came from, and that was $60,000.
That's okay.
And then we have
Something. So you have that much left in that one.
No, we haven't spent it, but so there's still $20,000 left in that.
Right.
And then
so that's 20 and one. And what was the other one then?
$8,000 for outlay.
80?
Eight zero?
Eight.
Okay, so that's $100,000. So, all right, well, there should be one more. I can't hear her.
$35,000 was for the AC unit.
So that's $135,000 in put aside.
$153,000 is what's on the budget for capital improvements.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
That's what we're reading right
here.
That's what was approved in the budget.
Right at the bottom of our budget.
The total is $153,000 with 30-something being paid for bocce? Is that what you're saying?
153 minus the 35 for
so
bocce.
We have about 100, that's what I said, 120 left.
Oh, okay.
Is
what's
that what
left?
You're saying?
Okay.
But now that budget doesn't include all our funds.
It doesn't include what?
All of our funds. That budget includes the funds we said we would want to spend this year. But we will still have reserves left over that we haven't budgeted for that we're hoping to get done and put into the full budget next year. Like, that's what we were talking last week, or was 2 weeks ago, about doing the sidewalks.
Right, that's what I'm trying to build up
to.
Yeah,
because we do, when we get done with this year's budget, even with these reserves spent, we will still have over $1 million left of funds. So we can take the $220,000 from those funds that were not budgeted to do the sidewalks.
Okay, so we're still waiting though for, and that's not doesn't have
yeah.
to do with you.
Yeah.
We're still waiting for bids.
Yeah, we're good. Thank you.
Any other questions for Keith? Bruce?
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. Maybe what Joanne is trying to ask, I'm guessing. I was the one that pushed for us to pay the loans off early, if you remember right. We saved about $7,000 to $8,000 paying the loans off early. The money was budgeted monthly, pay it off and get rid of it, which we did. Then last year, we dropped the assessment rate, if you remember right, which is the money we were paying for the loans, we dropped our assessment, what was it, $10 a month or something?
Yeah, 120 for the year.
Right, 120 for the year. So we actually dropped the assessment. Keith and I were on the original committee when we set up this whole thing about putting money aside for the capital gains work, you know, the capital funds. So we have put money in these funds yearly, taken out of our budget, and that's slotted for those particular things. I hope that helped you.
Any other comments? If not, looking for a motion to adopt or approve.
I make a motion that we approve the treasurer's report as presented and file it for audit.
Second?
I second the motion.
Paul? All in favor, raise your right hand.
7-0.
Okay, stop signs. Everybody bring their thing back from months ago. You may remember this page shows where they are now, and this page with the yellow colorings were to be added stop signs. I have a hard time trying to read where we are with this. One part of me says there were feelings expressed that said, we have all these stop signs already, and what are they doing? Pardon me? That's my point. So why do we want to look at 1, 2, 3, 4 more three-way stops and 1 4-way stop? Now, recognize that this gathering represents a small portion of the park. And I don't know if this is a good representation, that we have all the points of view sitting out there, or if we don't have those who want stop signs present. Well, let's not cast aspersions about who or should not be here. I think right now I am looking for a motion to take action on this one way or the other. Do we have such a motion, trustees?
I make a motion, but that we set that aside.
Is there a second?
I apologize. Are you saying you want it tabled?
No, I want it eliminated.
Eliminated.
Just like...
What do you mean by put it aside? The motion or the sign?
Not table it, like not address
not table
it again.
It. Eliminate it, whatever the correct phraseology is.
You want
is.
To table it?
I don't want to table it.
Don't make a motion that it does.
Right.
It's non-discussable.
Okay, never mind.
That's what you really want, is
that's
not to discuss it. Okay.
Yeah.
There is none.
There is none.
It died.
So stop signs are dead too.
All of them.
I was hoping we'd have a more peaceful meeting today. So let's not bring speed bumps up again or humps, whatever they are. Don't get near me. Okay, new business, clerical assistant. I think Cherie had said that she would have more information for us today. So I'll turn it over to Cherie.
Okay, we have hired Teresa Callahan. She started Thursday, so she will be, you know, obviously on her 90-day probationary period. And I'll have more to report in a couple of weeks. She's working out fine so far. So 3 days, I can't really say much. But we're absolutely happy to have somebody in the office to pick up the slack for right now. That's all I have for right now.
Two 244 Holiday Park update.
I'll take it over. They have received, that's Mr. Lloyd Glasser. He is residing there with his daughter and two underage grandchildren. He has so far submitted two letters to the office. This is in regards to work that he's been doing on his house. Thus far, he has not showed any initiative to find them a place to live, so it is in the hands of the attorney. The attorney is under the impression, or his thoughts are that we need to wait the 90 days and then enforce the fines. So right now, it's just a wait and see. He has reported twice so far, the week, you know, every other week. So we're just waiting, and as he is reporting, he's really not giving us anything substantial. These letters have been forwarded to the attorney, and at the proper time, the attorney will act accordingly on Holiday Park's behalf.
So our attorney waits a specific number of days of incompliance before he goes back at Mr. Glasser? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
How he explained it to me was, even though Mr. Glasser is submitting the biweekly reports, he said that we have to wait the 90 days. So, yeah, I don't quite get that. I think, Carol, you and I had discussed this, and we thought that, you know, by him violating the first letter, the first 2 weeks, if that letter wasn't up to what we were expecting.
The documentation that was originally submitted to Mr. Glasner said that he was supposed to report every 2 weeks on the progress of his attempting to relocate the illegal residents. His first two letters he has given us, and they've been on time, but they have been about the updates that he's doing to the property to potentially sell it. We never asked Mr. Glasner to sell or move out. We simply asked him to report to the progress of relocating the residents who are illegally living in the property. As such, it is in my opinion, yes, he has given us updates, but they have nothing to do with the case. Therefore, he is already in violation of our 90-day agreement that we gave him to relocate them. We should be eligible or able at this point to go ahead and start allocating and processing those fines. But from what I understand, we have to wait the 90 days because we gave him 90 days.
This is what the attorney said, but this is his last letter. He said, "Dear sirs, here is my progress report. Things are continuing on my property, and I am still actively looking for another place. Thank you, Lloyd Glasser." That's the progress report, the last one.
I would like to direct the district manager to send a little letter that says, "We need to see evidence of what he has done." Does this help? Evidence of what he has done. Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm addressing.
Again, I was in the lobby and I said, "Mr. Glasser, if you go to the library here in Palm Bay, there's $18 million plus dollars available for assistance, for apartments, security deposits, first and last month's rent." And he just shook his head. "Oh, all right, I'll tell her." And that's the last I heard. $18 million for rental assistance.
I would say to him, "Mr. Glasser, we want specifics of what you have done to get accommodations for your family."
Yeah, he's got to apply.
Yes.
Apply to rent an apartment, apply to get assistance.
Show
who's
us
he visited. It's sort of like when you're looking for a job and you go to a place that helps you find a job. You have to sign in. You get proof in order to get unemployment that you've been looking for a job. He needs to prove that he's trying to relocate them, and he's not doing that.
Well,
and he's not going
to. Is when we have residents that are bringing them food, cooking them lunch, giving them dinner, buying them bicycles, buying them clothes. I mean, we feel bad. But we're enabling this. You know, as much as our hearts go out to these situations, we all have a family member that is in need. And we all could put them up here. But you don't, because you obey the rules. And this is a 55 and older community. That's what y'all signed up for. So when you're making it easier for these folks, and you know, it sends out mixed messages to them. So just please be aware of that as well.
The thing I think Jack is asking it for is, can we get application where he's filled out names of places where he's filled out a rejection sheet that he didn't get it, or applications where he filled out to try to get help? Can we ask for those applications to be part of his report and let him know that we need those to be part of his report? Now, I don't know how much information we can get from him and what's on that application, you know, but I would think anything that they can ask him, we should be able to visit, you know, have turned in somehow.
Well, the bottom line is, in 90 days, I don't know, we did the math, it was $20,200 and something worth of a lien that's going to be on his property. So how is he going to sell it? And then we're going to have to take more drastic measures if they're not out by then, you know, depending on the moratorium with evictions. So, you know, he's really looking for a battle here.
I don't know that we're looking for him to be out. He can stay. He's not the issue. He's 55 plus. I think the bottom line is the kids. Now, I don't know if my mind is playing tricks on me, but I'm trying to think, did we hear how in the world they got here initially?
Yes, we did. Yes, he did. He told us they came in for a vacation in August, and that because of the COVID, they couldn't go home. And then when we asked them, well, they came down during the COVID, why couldn't they go home? Then he said it was none of our business. Then he informed us that she lost her job and the house got sold, and it was just this circle of issues that were brought up. And that's why we gave him the 90 days, was because we said, okay, there are issues. We understand the issues. It is during COVID. We want to work with you. We want to work with you, but you got to work with us.
Is the car parked over at 244 hers? Or is it, she has the car, and there's not been a truck there?
And there's no decal on the car.
Okay.
They get called in every day.
They get called in.
Again, the calling in can be an issue when it comes to our gate, which is where we were, what Bob was talking about. If we had automatic stickers, wouldn't be on her car, she wouldn't be allowed in.
Well, Bruce?
I guess he could push her in.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. Two quick questions. This is the house without water, if I remember right. Am I correct?
No.
Okay, wrong house. Let's forget that one. There's so many I don't know anymore. Okay, there's children there. I don't think they're in school. Are they being homeschooled?
That's what he told us.
Maybe we ought to have the school department check on it.
Is it also the home that they brought the couch out to the carport? Which is?
That's the one on the
437.
So that could be another issue. They'd be told to put their couch back in their house.
Then I think we better be ready to have all the couches go in the house, not just pick out one.
Outdoor furniture is allowed. This is an indoor furniture couch.
Pardon me?
Indoor furniture outside?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Since we're talking about that, I'll correct something that I said when we started Operation Clean Sweep. I said that I had read, you know, that garbage cans weren't allowed on the carport. Well, you turn to another set and chapter, and it says your waste management cans or whatever can be on the carport. So we have one deed restriction and rules and regs, I think, were the conflict, where one said these kind of things can be on the carport, and that's where we get to outdoor furniture, grill, that sort of thing. said specifically, your waste cans can be on the carport. So I stand corrected. Several people have talked to me about that, and I didn't have to find a place for mine either. Okay, anything more to say on this 244 situation?
I'll follow up with with the Mr. Glasser and also with the attorney and report back to the board.
I'm sorry, repeat that, please.
I will follow up with Mr. Glasser, and then I will contact the attorney to see if we should be doing anything legally and report back to the board.
Just real quick, Sheree, when you're talking with him, could you reiterate the fact that we want to see proof forms of him looking for housing, not so much for him fixing his up?
Okay. Looking for a little bit more detail is all we want that relates to the issue. And maybe we need to help him refocus on the issue. It's not painting his house or whatever else is happening over there, but what's happening in finding lodging for his grandkids. Okay, Sheree, I guess you're up again here with Palm Bay Homes update.
We had another conference call Thursday. And again, the departments couldn't decide on what they wanted to do. Our attorney mentioned an injunction. He wasn't as aggressive as he was the meeting before. So they're going to talk interdepartmental in their departments. Joanne was present, and Terry Steimer was present at the meeting as well. So they're going to get together. We have another meeting this coming Thursday at 3:30. We're hoping to get some answers at this meeting to find out when we can remove the homes. So this meeting is going to be, I hope, the important meeting where we get some answers.
So that's on the 11th?
That is.
Yes.
And, you know, we're trying to indemnify them, whereas we will take responsibility for the removal of the homes. They don't have to worry, and there's just some people there that won't allow us to do it. So, which means if we went for an injunction, the judge would probably give it to us because the homes are unsightly and it's a health hazard to our seniors here, and it's obviously dropping your property values. The concern we have is the recoup of the money that we're going to spend to remove the homes. If we can get that included in the sales contract when they do sell each one of these properties, then we can recoup the money, and that's something the board needs to decide if they want to do this and fight for it, or can the judge force them to pay us back for the removal of the home. So that's kind of where we're at right now. With the 9 homes. If they continue on with their path, they're going to have to file for quiet title. Either they do it or they sell it as is, and the person who purchases it has to file for quiet title. It's a conundrum either way because they're not going to be approved. The board's not going to approve them. I'm not going to approve them. So it's a catch-22. We're hoping they're going to see the light and just sign off with the contract, with the intentions of paying us back when we do remove them. Like I said, we have the meeting Thursday at 3:30. I'll know more then. Thank you.
Joanne.
Just to explain a little bit more, the problem is that no one can get title, okay? That's the bottom line. If we were to take down the homes, we wanted something in writing from the Palm Bay or the real estate saying that somehow we get reimbursed through the real estate, through Palm Bay. our attorney believes that's only going to lead to more legal battles. They won't probably do that. And now you've got their attorney, our attorney, and as I said, the only one that's getting rich on that are the attorneys. So that's where we're kind of in a limbo. So if they can find out that they've got title and they want to take down the homes, let them. Because then we don't have to pay for it and try to get reimbursed for it. Let them pay whatever they have to pay. Let them do it. But that's my opinion, that it should go that way. Otherwise, we're in a legal battle, and we are not going to be the winner.
I think that's what the meeting about is going to be about on Thursday, as we're going to figure out who and if and when. I mean, this could go on for another year plus. I know that they've been here for so long, what's another year? But we're going to see if we can expedite this without having to incur a lot of legal fees on either side, both sides. So we're hoping they're going to come through and we can amicably settle this and get these homes out of here. I'm being a little positive here and hoping that after all this time they'll help us out. But we'll see on Thursday.
Real quick, one quick clarification. City is being assessed for the houses, assessments yearly. Is that something we can collect, or are we going to have to fight for that too?
No, we get our assessments from the county. They pay, and
okay,
we're getting the money.
So we are making money,
yes,
as long as that.
Yes, absolutely.
So you're talking about not getting back the money that we would have to spend to remove the houses.
Correct.
That's what you're talking about.
Correct.
And is there a chance that the city's going to find out they can get title? So that's what we're hoping to hear. Okay.
Yeah, there's several things we talked about. You can file for an abandoned home, which we can't because we don't own them. They have title, or they supposedly own them, but they can file for an abandoned home, which means they have to put it in the paper and they have to advertise it and give it a certain amount of days for somebody to come forth and claim the home. That's one way. And then you have to go through the courts and file for what is called a quiet title, where they have one attorney at the courthouse that does nothing but this. All they do is research title. And right now, because everything's backed up, it could take, well, ordinarily it would take probably 3 to 4 weeks. Now it's 3 to 4 months, if not more. But what the city wants to do is sell them without clear title and with the folks knowing, the folks who are purchasing, they know that they're buying it without a clear title, and they have to incur the cost of searching for quiet title. So
is that what the city would have done had they actually sold those places back when they put it in the paper? If they had said yes to all those people who had offered money, that's what they were trying to do at that time?
Exactly. It would have been the purchaser's responsibility to file to do a quiet title search if they wanted to. It's not mandatory. They don't have to. They're accepting responsibility in saying, I'm going to tear this house out. I don't care. If somebody wants to come and buy 441, that's pretty much fallen down. Who's going to come back here and pay $40,000 in back taxes for this house? It's like winning the $50 billion lottery. It's that ridiculous. That's why the attorney he was going to indemnify, and the city of Pompeii wouldn't be responsible. We would take the responsibility for that. The odds of it of someone coming back and claiming these homes are zero to none.
Clarify for me, Cherie. If you people Thursday gain some understanding, does the Palm Bay City Council have to take action on that? Because that's threw the monkey wrench in the other stuff.
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't know if it has to go to council, if they have to vote on it. I would assume so. I don't know what their plans are or what they're going to come up with. I think the attorneys are talking and their departments are talking as well.
My
my feeling is we're in for the long haul, and it's going to be very long, and see who has the most perseverance.
Cherie does.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. Joanne is exactly right. The attorneys just love to make money and chew up paperwork and charge us. Something is absolutely wrong with what you're saying. I don't care. Open your trustee books to tax certificates. I'm the guy that's done it since 2015. You will see two pages in there I wrote. You will see the actual Brevard County thing where the tax certificates are done. When Brevard County, a few years ago, finally decided they were owed hundreds of millions of dollars, they started forcing the courts to take the properties over. I was told by the clerk of court, and it's in the trustee book, when the court issues the deed to Brevard County, it is free and clear. All liens are dead, all assessments are dead, we get nothing, all the liens are dead. Brevard County then turned them over to Palm Bay free and clear. Why? If Palm Bay don't have clear title, I have no idea why. It has to be issued by the court to Brevard County first. So I don't know what the hell everybody's doing. Take and read the section on tax certificates. I spelled it out very carefully.
Okay. Looks like we're ready for number 11. Public comment. Steve? Someone told me I should wipe this off.
Steve Ambrose, 241 Blossom. I just have a couple of items. Bruce brought up about the place that's not paying, got no water, water's been shut off and all that. Well, in the driveway, there's a pickup truck there that speeds through stop signs. Mm-hmm. So something has to be done for that house and those people, because I seen him yesterday, 2 days ago, went right through the stop sign heading out of the park, and he was moving. So that's something that should be looked at. Next quick question I have is garbage pickup. I know this has been discussed. Why do we have garbage pickup twice a week? We must be paying extra for that.
So that's
something that should be looked at. And the last thing I have is being on the ACC, which I'm finished in another couple of weeks, they need somebody as part of the ACC that's either hired or professional to look at new houses going in and the ones they're going to tear down that has the expertise. I was in supply in the Navy. I don't have expertise in that field. Yes, we got books and regulations, but they keep changing. So the trustees should be looking at getting a professional that when they're putting in a new house, a new mobile or whatever you want to call them, in the park or tearing them down, that they're overseeing the project properly.
Alice Burnett, this is going back to the clerical person that you just hired. What's her hourly rate?
Sorry, the clerical, she's starting out at $14 an hour.
And that was approved by the trustees?
I've been here almost 3 years. I've never had to run it through the board before.
Oh, I'm just asking. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
My name's Colin Fleet, 1150 Seminole Court. Last Monday, I dropped a request into the trustee box out there, and I'd like to know if you've made any decision on it. It's concerning the pool hall.
I think it needs to be discussed, Colin.
I was going to bring it up during trustee comments. That's one of the things that I had. It's not on the agenda, but we want to talk about it. I want to talk about it.
Last year, Marvin Locke, Jackie Locke, and Deborah Bennett, my wife, came to the conclusion that it wasn't safe to have the pool hall open. I normally get here November the 1st. This year I got here December the 14th. From December the 14th to date is probably what, 3 months maybe? Mm-hmm. A little bit over 3 months. I understand that the pool hall was closed because there were people that went into the pool hall and were not wearing masks. I sat down with Marvin, Jackie, and Deborah to discuss what might be did, what we could do to make it right. And that letter I submitted to you was an accumulation of three people: the men's pool, the ladies' pool, and the Scotch doubles. There's limits on people that can go in. Everybody must wear a mask. The center table would be closed for safe distancing, and there would be a sign-up sheet on the pool hall doors for anybody that went in to play pool. After they finished playing pool, they would wipe down all the pool balls, wipe down the pool table, the rack, and if they use cues from here, the cues. With a limit of 8 people in the pool hall, you're going to have safe distancing? I don't know. Just trying to help you make your decision. It's been closed a long time.
Okay. Any other comments? We won't act on this now.
Pardon me?
We're not acting on this right now. We're taking public comment after we get done with comments.
My wife put something on the internet, and we probably have 20 names of people that are interested.
Okay. Angel?
260 Holiday Park, Angel Haldeman. I like to know when you open the pool at nighttime and bingo.
On my list.
What?
Yeah.
On my list for trustee comments. I was going to bring that up. All of I'm good about opening, but
okay.
I'd like to talk about it.
Okay. Hi, my name is Anna Personette. I live at 388 Holiday Park Boulevard. I was just wondering when the clubhouse is going to open again. We've been shut down for a year. And a lot of residents got their first and second shot, so I would like to have some idea when they're gonna have the activities again. And the people that don't wanna go, don't have to go.
That's something that she's got on her list. We're talking about that.
What you said.
We got a long list.
You gotta speak up, I'm deaf in one ear. What?
I said that's something that she already has on her list. We've got a long list about that. We're gonna be discussing.
And another thing, I put in a complaint 3 weeks ago about where I live, 388, the cars are speeding back and forth very, very bad. I almost got hit twice. So I don't know if you got, Sherry, I gave it to her. She said she put it in the trustee's box. Did anybody discuss that?
You're wanting the extra speed humps. We've discussed those, and it's another issue that needs to be brought up at another time.
Okay, well, thank you.
Joanne.
Two things. One, Cherie, we have a new employee at the gate. Could you give us his name and a little bit of a background?
I
can get his file. His name is Robert. He used to work at Publix. He's retired from Publix. He is, he comes from Publix. He's from Michigan. Very good references. He's working out really well. I guess he was 14 years at Publix. He just wanted something part-time, two shifts a week, which works out perfect. He works Saturday, Sunday from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Okay. And I have no interest in speed bumps or stop signs, and I'm not here to defend them or reject them. I'm just here to say we shouldn't have to hear from anybody anymore about people speeding, because I think that's the dead deal. You've already said they speed, but there's nothing you can do about it. Well, somebody tried to say there might be something you could do about it, but that's been rejected. So speeding is going to happen, and we've done nothing because we really have decided we can't. So that's what I have to say about speed bumps and stop signs. We shouldn't have to hear about it anymore. Apparently we've done all we can possibly do, and people are still going to speed.
Joe?
Joe Little, 1031 Vista Court. And I guess I just want to pile on with the bingo. I have personally contacted all the volunteers, myself, Angel Haldeman, Tom Whitaker and his wife, Cheryl Clancy, all the people that work at Bingo. They all want to open the Bingo. They're all willing to still work at the Bingo, just like all the people that run the pool hall. They're all still willing to work. And in conjunction with that, opening up the rec center. Bingo was the last thing to go, so in my opinion, it should be maybe the first thing to come back, but that'll be up to you. But just to let you know that I have contacted everyone related to Bingo. Don't know how many people are going to come. If they want to come, fine. If they don't want to come, fine. But I've contacted everyone, and they are all willing and ready to go.
Sharon?
Sharon Schmidt, 1055 Sunflower. Since there seems to be interest in opening up the rec hall and the facilities that we have here, this is a suggestion for somebody to squirrel away in their heads, okay? Because I know when I first came here, there were a couple of times when there were gatherings for dinners or whatever, okay? And that has, of course, has stopped because of COVID. The suggestion I'm making here is I want you to know, I'm a member of the Elks in Malvern. We have a dinner and a dance every Friday night, but we have rules. You must wear a mask in the lodge. You can take the mask off if you're at a table and you're eating and drinking. We limit it 4 people to a table. If you get off from the table, you put the mask on. You're going to dance, put the mask on. And I have to say, we have had, thank God, very few incidences of illness. It's something to think about. It's something that we see works. Maybe it's something to consider. Thank you.
Okay, now let's open up the dreaded trustee comments.
Are we starting, or what are we doing?
Okay. How do you want to do it?
If Terry starts, don't stop at him. Keep coming.
Yeah. Yeah, you can just start down there, but you got to come this way, too.
Go ahead, Terry.
Okay. Colin, I got this.
Can you take your mask off to speak?
Get real close.
Thank you.
Colin, I got this in the email, and I'll tell you what, I was impressed with it. I was impressed with the effort that you and whoever went through this and put these ideas down here about cleaning the balls and keeping the middle table shut down and all the things that's on here. And if it was me in charge and I was king, I would give you this opportunity to do it right now, open the thing up right now. But anyway, this is the kind of thing I think we could do together as a body. You know, if you open up the bingo, see that somebody is responsible for cleaning it up. If you open up the card hall room, see that somebody's responsible for taking the responsibility to clean it up. I mean, you can't put that kind of thing on us, I don't think. If you want to open it up as long as you've got the restrictions to clean it up. And that's all I got to say right now.
Thank you. Next, Paul.
I agree. If we people want to open it up, and they take responsibility for it, I'd say we can go for it. I heard people talking about the pool, too, being open a little bit later. So.
Next. Carol.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk on those things right now. I've got a couple of other things I need to address, and I hate to have to bring them up, but they need to be addressed. Since I became a member of the Board of Trustees, I have received numerous emails and hand-delivered letters to my house by residents of the park, filing numerous complaints against our district manager and against other issues within the park. I would like to give Cherie an opportunity to address those concerns in front of all of you so that you know what's going on. One of the first concerns that was brought to me is that our district manager is spending money without authorization. Having been new to the board, I wasn't aware of any issues, and I want you to know that I sat down this month and I looked at every receipt that was spent in this park. Every receipt must be signed by 4 different people before it's ever paid, and all the checks have to be approved with all the receipts attached. So if there's fraudulent spending, I would like to give her an opportunity to rebut that. The other question that's been brought to me is that she's never available when people want to talk to her, that she's not working her hours, that she doesn't come in on time, and that she leaves constantly ahead of her time. I have seen her here beyond hours. I've seen her at 7 o'clock at night, and I've seen her on the weekends. I don't know what your scheduled hours are from moment to moment, but I'd like for you to address that as well, because these people have filed their complaints to me. The other complaint that was just brought up was a stupid complaint, but it's also a very valid complaint. It is about all the leaves in the park that need to be raked up and cleaned up. That is a never-ending job and should not be necessarily her problem. I think we as residents should also rake the leaves in our yards. We can't do all of the big areas, but it apparently causes issues within the park and it causes issues with draining. So Cherie, these are the complaints that were brought to me by a couple of people within the park. I would prefer not to mention their names. I think they deserve their privacy, but I'd like to give you the opportunity to respond, please.
Okay, we don't have to mention names. I'm gonna be totally candid. We all know who it is. I'm here every night, minimum 5 o'clock. You can talk to the people that live across the street when they see me driving out of here and it's dark, okay? That is a bald-faced lie. And if whoever wants to challenge me, please come to the office and I'll play you the tapes that are rolling in this parking lot. Never. On a Friday, I may duck out a couple hours early once or twice a month to go get my grandson. And when I do that, I'll have worked already 45 hours. So that is a bold-faced lie. And misappropriation of funds, okay, the board approved the $30,000 for the bocce court, so I'm getting crucified for that. That's the only misappropriation of funds that they really have a leg to stand on.
That was not misappropriated funds either.
And
they may
not
have called it that, but it is not. It was approved in last year's budget.
I'm trying not to be defensive. I work for the park, I work for you all, and I have to answer to every one of you, not in that type of,
I'm embarrassed that I have to answer to these allegations because they're unfounded. And it's terrible that the board has to be put in a position like that. But they are unfounded. And any, if they want to challenge me, please come to the office so that we can get this straightened out. I'll run the tapes every day. Last week, by Thursday night, I had already worked 44 hours. I don't have to do that. I could leave and say, well, my day's done. No, I wait until I finish with what I'm doing during that day. On weekends, if I have to be here, I'm here. Do I take phone calls at night? Pretty much every night. I'm not complaining, but don't accuse me, please, of not doing my job and not being here. It's not fair. And as far as the leaves go, this is Mother Nature. This happens every single year this time of year. What we're going to do, we're going to be a little productive this year, proactive. We're going to get a lawnmower with a big bagger on the back. We're going to lift up the mower, and we're going to try to bag up as many leaves as possible, put them on the back of the trailer, and put some kind of lean-to on it so they don't blow all the way and start a compost pile. We'll try that this year and see if that works. But pretty much it lasts for, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks, and then they all go away. So in my defense, that's all I have to say. And again, if anyone wants to see records of anything, be my guest and please come to the office. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, one question. When you say you're going to get something to pick them up, is that out of the street you're going to pick the leaves
Sidewalks
up?
Mostly.
Okay.
Do we have that equipment?
We're going to buy a lawnmower, which is about $250. And as far as the drains, Duane has checked all the drains, and they're clear. And we're keeping those clear. We're being extra cautious right now because of the leaves. Moonlight, Greenview, Sunflower, all those drainage areas have been cleared. Duane is on it. Derek is on it all the time. And when we get real dry weather, that's when Flawless is going to come in and scoop all of them out. The drain over by the storage area has been cleaned out already, and that looks really good. So we're going to continue through the whole park.
Steve, not yet, please. Can you go back to your seat?
Oh, sorry.
So we can go back.
Sorry, I just
this.
Wanted to talk about the leaves that
okay.
we had bought in the past.
Go ahead.
A previous manager had bought a vacuum, and it was in the compound for a few years, never used. But they used to go around with the vacuum and to the streets and clean up the leaves. But I don't know if we still have that big vacuum or not.
It was NG.
It was NG.
We do have it. We've been trying to get rid of that albatross and sell it. It doesn't. We've tried it. It takes more effort and manpower than it's worth, though, Steve. Thank you.
I want to personally thank you for responding to those complaints, Sheree. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'd like to say, because it ties in with what Carol was dealing with here, I get mail, too. And I ignore it. And I was asked, do I ignore all email or just from certain people? And I haven't answered that one either. I hope they're smart enough to figure it out. Okay.
I'm glad I was given the opportunity, though, because if this is sent to the board, then other people are talking about it within the community. And if I have the opportunity to be able to say something on my behalf and my staff, then I will. So I'm glad it was brought up. It is frivolous, and it there's no validation here. However, for the group that are out there, they need to know the truth.
Cheryl. She's lost her notes.
Okay, I have. I've lost my notes. I can remember one of them, though. Just to reiterate this, I was one of the few trustees who also received some correspondence that, by the way, did not go to all trustees, which is a reason that I did not respond. I feel that people who limit their focus are toxic. I don't want to deal with them. I don't have to deal with them unless they're sitting in front of me like you guys are. And I appreciate the fact that all of you are here and interested. And Colin, Terry's right. If you're not part of the solution, then you're part of the problem. What you gave to us for the pool room was excellent. That is part of the solution, and I appreciate that. Thank you. So, on that note, opening up, I feel we do need more of the clubhouse open up. And I know a lot of people don't want to do that, still don't feel comfortable. My turn. But that's okay. They can feel that way. You can't take feelings away from people. Those of you who want it open, feel it should be open. We're not going to criticize that either. I feel that we should make the effort to now try bingo, pool hall is what I meant, and the swimming pool with extended hours, the way we used to have it. All of this comes with responsibilities on all of you. We've been dealing with this COVID crap for just like everybody else for over a year. We're tired of it too. Colin's suggestions, limiting the number of people in, having no observers, only those who are playing, cleaning up the tables, you know, or the sign-up sheets, if you limit it to an hour. I don't know how long it takes to play a couple pool games, an hour, 2 hours. I don't know what your time limit would be, but you guys could figure that out. Expect that masks would be worn. If one of us walks into that pool room and someone doesn't have a mask on, my thought would be lights go off, doors get locked. Be willing to accept that you're kicked out if you're not following the rules without any mouthing off like, you know, my 7-year-old granddaughter would do to me when I send her. But same way with the pool, social distancing, bingo. It seems to me bingo would be easy enough to social distance. We've got these big long tables, one at either end. The caller is up there. We could be spaced. Masks can be worn. I understand, was it Sharon who mentioned about Elks in the dinner dances? Mm-hmm. That's all fine and good. I'm not sure we're ready for that. I think if we got to start with the basics, and make sure that we can follow the rules with just a few of us. And then maybe we can open up or have an outdoor activity, happy hour or something. But you know what? That doesn't need us to talk about. If somebody wants to do an outdoor activity out here, there's so much space out there. Get out there and do it. Let people know it's happening. We had that music a couple weeks ago that Don and them played outside. I didn't know it was happening because I don't do Facebook. And we just happened to be driving by and all the things were out there, all the golf carts and stuff. So we grabbed a beer and walked on over. It was wonderful to be outside and see people again. And I do agree, we need to do that because we're all going to go crazy. So that would be my suggestion. I know Cherie, you're going to have to deal with if we ended up opening things, switching schedules back and stuff for coverage, how that would work.
I don't have the staff. I'm going to have to, and this is the day I've been waiting for. Seriously, I know how frustrating it is. However, when this whole thing hit, we did let one of our staff go, and I never replaced them. So we've been working on a skeleton staff. So until I get someone else hired and work the schedules around, I'm going to need some help, and I'm going to admit that to you right now. So if you guys can practice the sanitizing and so forth, that will take some pressure off until. I've been avoiding hiring another full-timer because we don't have any functions at night. We don't have the setup, the tear down. We don't have the cleaning. And I couldn't justify hiring somebody to come in here just to lock the door at 9 or 9:30. And then what did they do for 3 or 4 hours? You can clean and clean and clean. And then I thought about different projects. But the way it's been going, we haven't needed someone. So this is going to change the whole dynamics of our staff, which is fine. I'm prepared to do it. Just going to have to be a little bit patient with us. And I did want to report, you must practice social distancing and the masks. There's 2 more cases of COVID in the park. Yes. So please, with having said that, cautiously, yeah, let's go for it. But let's please be careful. That's all I have to say, is just let you instruct me on what you guys want to do. But we have a sterilizing machine. Earl sterilizes everything at the end of it, when everybody leaves. But just be careful. I know everyone's getting their first and second shots, so that's a really good thing. That's a positive thing. But until we get the majority vaccinated, we still have to be careful. Well, I'm here till 7. I'm always here till 5, mostly 5:36. I'm here. I don't want to commit to being here till 7 every night. That's a long day. That's a 10-hour day. I don't mind doing it, you know, a couple times a week, but if that's what you want, if you guys decide, that's fine. The building will close at 5 as usual, and then the pool can stay open. Billiards, you guys have to instruct me on how you want to handle that as well.
Yeah, because we have daylight saving time starting next week, so that will be helping too. So
yeah, it's something that the board's going to have to really instruct me on doing. I
so
don't want to make these.
If we open the pool hall during the daytime hours, that would take no rescheduling of staff?
No, it would not. Not at all. They can play all day long.
Okay. Any other comments here?
Keith? My question, and I'm for opening up, and I want to do that, but my concern is always, how are you going to enforce this? Because we get so many people that don't, not so many, we get a few people that don't want to follow it. So when the pool stays open till 7, who's cleaning it? Or we don't clean them after that, we clean them in the morning, you know, or when they're done, somebody comes during the day and plays pool. Who's checking up that they did clean the balls off and the tables off? And if they don't, who's going to be in there to make sure that they do that? I mean, that's the thing we're putting on the office, and that's fine if we want to put the office, but we need somebody that can say, hey, they are doing it or they aren't, and we is the only recourse we have is if they're not doing it is lock it, or can somebody in the part say, hey, you got to be in there or we're going to get closed up, and if they don't walk out, they can't force them out. The office then the office just has to walk in. So those are the things we have to consider too, is, yeah, it's nice to make, it's like making your kids responsible. You still got to go check up on them. And I don't mean to call you kids, but we have people that you don't really, that will stand up to other people and get mad at them and stuff like that. So we want to address those kind of things too, because I'm for opening them up. I'm no problem with that. Just, it's just like the speeding or anything else. You can make rules, but if you don't have somebody that everybody wants to follow them and get along with it, they go, then people, they don't care, so they don't do it. But so the rules we have, I think they work fine, as long as we can make sure the person that comes in at two in the afternoon to play pool, just between two people, do they have to register, or can they? Do they got to go to the office? There's a lot of little mechanical things here that we have to address. So that's my only concern, that we do. We figure that out too. I did have one more thing, real quick. I do have a solution for the speeding. See, we can pay for speed bumps to slow everybody down, or the whole park can save a lot of money by not fixing the roads, and the mother-in-law will take care of all that.
Oh, dear.
Thank you.
All you Facebook watchers, let me know how soon something about deteriorating roads in the board is against fixing the roads. Thanks a lot, Keith. Okay. Hold on, there have been hands up now, but go ahead, Jackie. Becky. You can get in line 6 feet
Becky
behind
Ernest,
her.
Becky Ernest, 205 Burrell Circle. Just as a suggestion, you might say next week we could start bingo and another thing, maybe the pool, and then wait for a couple weeks and see how that works, and then open the pool hall or whatever, but kind of stagger it and see how it works.
Thank you. Good idea.
Annette Regis, 409 Holiday. I treat, when I go out to the store or any place else, I treat how I touch something as if the person ahead of me touched it and then didn't clean it. So that could apply to pool. You come in to play, just wipe everything down, just as if you have no idea if the people that used it before you did that or not. Just use common sense and walk in with wipes and wipe it down before you even use it and then after you use it. If everybody does that, there's no problem.
Thank you. Good idea.
Bruce.
Again, if everybody does, it would help. But it is a good suggestion that to do that. You know, pretend like you, maybe we could add that to the rule, too. You need to clean it down before you.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. I want to compliment the people sitting here for stepping up and being trustees in our park.
Thank you.
And to go back to what emails that Carol had, we have had for 4 or 5 years disgruntled people in this park that have done nothing but try to cause problems. It is a shame that we have to put up with this crap. I'm not defending Cherie. Her and I have had our problems, and I support her. I've seen her in this park at 10 and 11 o'clock at night. Accusing her of whatever, stealing or whatever, is bullshit. We have a treasurer and assistant treasurer that have to look at the bills. People have to sign off on these bills. I would hope that our people are honorable that are serving us.
Sharon Schmidt, 1055 Sunflower. With respect to Cherie, now, if she's in the office, okay, now I personally saw this take place, okay? Someone comes up to the window, and Cherie, I don't know if they specifically asked for you or if you happen to be the one that was near the window at the time, and she, you know, she's trying to help this person. Meanwhile, there's somebody waiting that came in a few minutes later. Well, whoever it was that she was working with, God bless him, he went on and on and on, kind of chatty Cathy kind of thing. That's not fair to her, because she's got somebody lined up behind this person, okay? Take into consideration the amount of time that you personally take up with her, all right? And as far as when she's out and about, she's got to do a survey of what's going on outside, so she can't be out there in her golf cart, of which
what she was accused of, to get off my property.
Oh, yeah.
And I suggested to her she maybe should put a sign on there that, you know, district manager, at least that, you know, who they know who it is that's on her property. But the thing is, she can't be out there surveying what needs to be done and be in the office at the same time. It's unfortunate if you stop by at the office at an off time for her that she's outside. If you need to speak to her specifically, make a call, make an appointment, and I'm sure she'd be more than happy to accommodate you.
Yeah. And I also need to make a point that I feel people complain that Cherie doesn't get back to them in time. This is a huge business that she's running right now. Typically, when you call and leave an appointment or leave a message at a business, you will find out, because I've called and said, well, nobody called me back. You know what? Doctor's office has 48 hours to call you back. We need to recognize Cherie's not sitting at her desk waiting to call a person back. She has responsibilities that are time-consuming, as Sharon says, and sometimes take her out of the office. And to tell you the truth, the many times that we have to listen over and over and over again, it's tiring, and it's like we feel like we don't get work done because we're answering the same freaking complaints. Excuse me. Same complaints every month. Get over yourself. We are here to do what's right and good. Do we make mistakes? Absolutely we do. We're willing to fix them also. And that's why we appreciate this give and take. Thank you.
I'd like to also say something on the same subject. I go out on my golf cart usually every evening about 6 o'clock for just around the park to check things out. And I report to Sherry if there's anything that she needs to know. But also sometimes I'll stop in just to ask her a question. And she's always here at 6 o'clock with her car. I see the car in the parking lot, and she's here working. So just to let everybody know.
Joe, maybe this is the last one.
Just real quick, I'm not sure exactly how you're going to consider opening the building, but if you do open it for bingo, bingo is a set time. It's like, okay, it's 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon. It's for 2.5 hours, whatever. If you're going to open the whole building up, then that does cause a little bit of more problems. If somebody comes in, wants to play a game or two of pool, how do they sanitize the thing? Maybe you should consider only opening up the building for organized activity. Like if they want to play pool in the pool hall at 2 o'clock on Mondays, then it's open. Otherwise, it's not, because you're not really sure of the sanitation thing. Like I said, I'm not really sure how you're going to open this up, but something to think about, maybe at least now, baby steps, only for organized activities, certain points in time, so many numbers, like, you know, 2 to 3, 10 people play pool, 3 to 4, more people play pool, and so forth, and the people who are organizing it are in charge. Something like that. And then you got to have, going to have to beef up the cleaning supplies and get another person in here for helping to clean up and so forth. So, final comment.
Okay. Terry?
Well, I thought since Colin brought this in, and I approved it, I don't see why we can't go ahead and make some sort of decision about the pool hall, at least, because that man's got himself together on this, all the things they're going to do for this pool hall. That we couldn't say, you know, let's let him approach Cherie, and if she agrees with this, then let him open it. And the same with all you others. If you want to open the whatever, make an effort to do something like this and then run it by Cherie. And if it needs adjustment or something like that, adjust it. If it doesn't need adjustment, maybe we can open it. But let's not run this on forever, because you're going to keep coming back and say you want to open this and open that. Let's get a move on here. And everything I say today relative to whoever wants to open something, you have to have six pack of beer. Oh, I think that's fair.
Terry, there's nine on the board.
Yeah, what are you gonna, what are you gonna drink?
they need to bring a case.
Anyway, okay. Just I agree with Terry in the fact that if you I think we could open it up if they get approval from Cherie that she can handle a situation without, you know, really saying board got to handle, you know, bingo. Well, if Cherie and the bingo people can work out a way that everybody seems safe, I would allow the office to set up those organizations. But just to open it up to the public right now, I think that might be something. But at least where you've got a group of people that want to do something, and you say we'd like to have this inside. Now, outside, I don't think you need any approval. You can do outside stuff. But an inside use, it might be something we could do now without any more board approval.
I wish people would check with me because, like I said, we are down one staff, and when I hire someone, it's going to be for the permanent position for when we are in full swing, when we are setting up for functions, for potlucks, ladies' luncheons, happy hour at night. It would be a little bit difficult for me to hire somebody just to work 2 hours or 3 hours to cover that evening. I think the pool hall, I think you guys should open it all day long and come to terms with yourselves, like who's going to play what time. Keep the number at a minimum. Colin, if you want to take charge of that, that's great. We have a machine that we can sterilize the room when everybody's finished. Earl's here till 6. And Derek is here until 6 each evening. So when it closes down at 5, boom, they can go in and they can sterilize the card room and the billiards room. I like the idea of bingo on Sunday and still keeping the dining hall pretty much closed down. I don't know if there's any functions going on anyway because it's the end of the year. And then next year, just pick up. Come October, hells and blazes. This place is going to rock. So, and then, you know, during the summer, again, I'm concerned with my staffing, and I'm concerned with you all as well. And hopefully we can work this out together where we can all, you know, I can accommodate you all and make it a sterile and safe environment as well. So having said that, just come to me and ask me what you guys want, or the board can tell me, instruct me, and we'll take it from there. But let's get her open, sure.
Okay. I think we've talked quite a bit. I would say I've heard board people say, you know, Colin's person heading up something. Joe is heading up an activity. Bev is working with an activity. Why don't we just say, you three work with Cherie and let her know sometime soon what are your plans for activity. Bingo we know is Sunday. Bev says maybe 3 nights a week, so let's figure out what 3 nights she wants to spend down here. And Joe is Sunday afternoon. That's the only time bingo has been played. So I think that's pretty clear. I don't think we need to spend lots of time
with the billiards
working through. I said Colin.
Yeah, he did say Colin.
Now, does this include the card room as well?
I don't feel comfortable with the card room.
Okay, no.
My thing, I guess, I wouldn't even restrict it to the number. If you have a plan and something that could meet our safety, even if it were the card room, say we'd like to use the card room, but we only have 4 people, we'll all wear masks. You can set a time up with Cherie to say, okay, we will clean this, we will do this, but it must be planned through the office in order to get an activity inside the building. That's what I'm saying. You can expand it to more than just those 3. If somebody will come up with a good plan and an activity, they can work it out with Cherie and her staff on that we can cover that. I would even say beyond those a little bit.
Okay. Looking for a motion to adjourn?
I would like to move to adjourn.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye.